So let's try to give out a page here for tonight. Good. Here we have one. Okay, Avi, you want to take this so it doesn't get lost? Like this. There's one. He's back to the right.
Seven sitting here.
It should say by Yishlach on top. It's a little bit weak. If you want to pass this one down.
Oh, yeah.
But it gets a little better as the page goes on. It might be low on toner or something of that sort. I don't know. So you should have two pages, which are really one page but two sides. Does that check out for everybody? Okay, we'll close the door so we can get started. This is for Parshas Vayishlach. Thank you. And of course, this Parsha is the encounter between Yaakov and Esau. And if you recall, when Yaakov gets the word through these messengers of the Malachim that Esav is in hot pursuit, he's bringing 400 strong men, Yaakov turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, "Vayomer Yaakov Elokei Avi Avraham Velokei Yitzchak Velokei Avi Yitzchak Hashem Homer Eli Shuv Liartzechol Malatetecha Veitiva Imach." Hashem was the one who told him when he was in Beis Lavan, appeared to him in a dream, and told him to go back to Eretz Canaan. And now, look what's happening. He's on the way, and he's facing this tremendous adversary, this danger. Yaakov admits that he doesn't deserve much. You know, Yaakov embodies and personifies the mid of anov, of humility. But nevertheless, Hatzileni no miyadachi, miyadei so, please save me, because Yorei Anochi, I'm overwhelmed by fear. Because if Esav comes, he's going to be destroying men, women, children, everything. And Ve'ata Marta, now as a matter of desperation, Yaakov quotes the bris and the divine promise of Hashem that Heitevi Tivi Mach, I'll be with you, I'll bestow goodness on you, Samti Azarachoki Cholayam, Ashalo Isaferi Rov. Look at all these divine promises. Now what we want to study here is a brisa which was collected under the title of Pirkei. All these brises were collected under the title Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. This is Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol, who was considered from the greats. He was so brilliant that the Chachamim couldn't really always understand him. But he was right and they were wrong. But the halacha goes like the Chachamim. But in any event, he focuses on the letters of the alphabet. Now the Aleph Beis is made up of 22 letters. There are 5 additional letters, making it 27. Those are called Mansabach. Those are the last, you know, the final letters. And according to our Torah Hashkafa, our philosophy, there's a tremendous significance to the letters themselves. And what Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar is going to do, he's going to single out 5 letters in particular. And these letters are going to reveal, in some sense, the secret of redemption. You know, we're always wondering about the Gula, when it's going to take place, and what its significance is, what it's going to be like at the end of days. There are certain verses in the Torah where these letters that are singled out here are repeated. They appear twice. And because of that repetition, Rabbi Lezer puts an emphasis on these words, because that repetition is indicative of what we call Geula, the ultimate redemption. Like, take for example, in the phrase Lech Lecha, which Hashem commands Avram to leave Haran and go to Eretz Yisrael. So if you take a look at the final letters of those two words, Lech Lecha, that's Chaf, and the Chaf repeats itself twice. And why is that Chaf a double Chaf? Revealed to Avraham Avinu when he says Lech Lecha. And the answer says, Rabbi Elazar Gadol, that foresees or foretells the ultimate redemption. Meaning that Avraham Avinu, before he leaves on his trek to Eretz Canaan, to the land of Israel, he's in a state of golus. He's alienated from his own land. That's one chaf. But the repetition of the chaf indicates that he's going to return to his land. So whenever there's a context of geula, of redemption, we expect to find a double letter, a letter that repeats itself, telling us that on the one hand there's golus, but on the other hand there's going to be geula. Okay?
By the way, the word lech lecha is repeated twice in the parasha.
Oh, so maybe that's also kicks in. I don't know. I thought he was referring to the chaf at the end of lech and the other chaf at the end of lecha.
The same lech lecha is when he goes to the akedat.
Oh, so that's a different question. Would that be... He's saying here, nigal mi'ur kazdin, which means that Avram was taken out of ur kazdin. So that's at the very beginning of it. You know, you could sit here with this shtender. You might enjoy it. Oh, you want to sit here? That's even better. I was going to say use the shtender if you want a place for the page. Okay. You know, as I always say, I like to give out a page because my shiurim are text-oriented. It's up to you whether you want to, whether you want to bite the bait, so to speak. You can take the horse to the water, but you can't force the horse to drink. So it's up to you whether you want to use the text up here. Now, with regard to Yitzhak Avinu, he is suffering a tremendous challenge from his adversaries called the Plishtim, and Hashem promises there that he will spare and redeem Yitzhak from the Plishtim. And there it says, Lech Me'imanu. So once again, if you take the word Me'imanu, you'll see that in that word, which only has five letters, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Yeah.
You'll see that one of those five letters repeats itself, and that's the Mem. So now Rabbi Eliezer says that the Mem is also singled out as one of those letters that indicate Geula, meaning when a person is faced with alienation, he's estranged from his people, from his land. And Hashem repeats another letter to tell you that don't give up hope. Have optimism. You will be saved and you will be redeemed. So we saw it in the case of Avram with the double Mem. Now we saw it in the case of Yitzhak with the double... I'm sorry, in the case of Avram with the double Chaf. Now in the case of Yitzhak with the double Mem. And now we're moving on from Avram Yitzhak to, of course, Yaakov. So if you take a look on the top of the page at Pasuk Yud Beis, Hashem promises Yaakov, Hatzileni na miyad achi miyad Esav.
Yaakov asks
HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save him. And if you take a look at the words here,
miyad, well,
it's very interesting. You'll see that the Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar emphasizes the nun in this case. Now, where does he see two nuns? Not in one word, but in a word that links up to another word. Do you follow what I mean?
Hatzileni na.
So the Hatzileni na has a nun towards the end of the word Hatzileni, but it also links in to another line. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry, I meant to say the nun. Did I say lamed? I meant to say nun. Yeah, I said nun. So the nun towards the end of Hatzileni is going to link up with the nun of na. And in a very close, contiguous set of two words, we have the nun twice. And that's going to be a request which HaKadosh Baruch Hu answers in the positive from Yaakov to petition Hashem to protect him and save him from his adversary, in this case from Esav. Okay? Now, the ultimate national Geula, because until now we've only seen Geula for Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov as individuals, but on a national collective level for the people of Israel, that's going to happen at the time of the 15th of Nisan, when the people of Israel are taken free from Mitzrayim, correct? And in that pasuk, when Hashem reveals Himself to Moshe and tells Moshe that He has remembered the Jewish people and the covenant and the promise that He gave to their ancestors, and He will take them and redeem them from Mitzrayim, it says in the pasuk, "Pakod pakadati." And there you'll see a repetition of the pay. And that too indicates that you've been in a state of galus, in Mitzrayim in this case, and now Hashem says, Pakadati, I've remembered you, and I will now begin the process of Geula mi Mitzrayim. So the kickoff of Geula is when Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu at the snare, you remember that's in Shmos Per Gimel, Pakod Pakadati Eschem. And finally, we have an indication of the ultimate Geula, and that's the letter Tzadi. And that appears again twice. And Bo Asir HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ligol Es Yisrael Mishibur Arba Malchus. In other words, if you remember back in the Bris Ben Masor, Avram is notified that there'll be four kingships that are going to subjugate the Jewish people. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the period of the fourth kingship, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring the redemption, the ultimate Geula. And that's a Geula Mishibud. Shibud means subjugation of the fourth Malchus. And that's called the Malchus of Edom, which has to do with Esav. And the Navi, when he predicts the divine redemption at the end of time, he says, by Lamar Lahem, you should tell the people of Israel, Tzamach Tzamachti, Tzamach Tzamachti, which Tzmicha means growth. In other words, there's the beginning of a process of growth. In fact, the Mashiach himself is called Tzemach, from the same language, because he is the harbinger of the redemption. And notice that the letter Tzadi appears contiguously in two words, one after the other. And that's going to be V'yamarti, I love, Ko'amar Hashem Tzvakos Le'mor Hinei Ish Tzemach Shmo Umitacht of Yitzmach. Yitzmach HaYeshua, the Yeshua is going to come about. So if we take a look at this Pirkei de Rabbi Elazar and we summarize it, what we see is that he's singling out five letters, all of which come from two words that are written one after the other, and in those two words written one contiguous to the other, we have the same letter twice. What are these five letters? Just to review again, we have Lech Lecha in the case of Avram, that's the double Chaf. We have in the case of Yitzchak, Lech Me'imanu, which is the double Mem. In the case of Yaakov, it says Hatzileni Na, that's the double Nun. In the case of Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim, it says Pakod Pakadati, the double Pei. And finally, in the ultimate Geula, it says Tzemach Tzamachti, the double Tzadi. And these basically indicate the greatest prayers that the Jewish people have for the Geula. Those prayers have to be expressed in terms of these five letters. There's only one problem, and that's the Nun. The Nun of our parsha, meaning of Parshas Vayishlach, of the Geula of Yaakov Avinu from his main adversary, his own brother, his own twin brother Esav, the Nun is problematic. And I'll tell you why. We'll get to Nafal in just a minute, but Jackie, just one word of introduction, and then we'll get to your Nafal. That's the kid. You're right, and I'm wrong, but I just want to give a little bit of background. The Torah tells us in Parshas Baaloscha that ultimately the adversaries of the Jewish people will flee, will run away from the Jewish people. And that's the pasuk that says, Vayhi bin Soa Ha'aron, Vayomer Moshe Kumu, that when the Aron, which contains the Luchos HaBris, is going to travel in front of the people of Israel, our enemies, our Oivim, our Sonim will flee. That Parsha, which has only two Psukim in it, is set aside by two Nunim. But my problem is that those Nunim are upside down. And this is very strange.
Mirror-wise, not upside down.
Hafuchim, mirror-wise, I guess you'd say. And why do you change the tzura of the Nun? you know, the Nun looks this way and all of a sudden it looks that way. If Nun really contains within it the harbinger and the foretelling of Geula, and that's going to be Vayhi Bitzaron, why is it necessary to turn the Nun around? Now, let's appreciate something else about the Nun. Again, you know, we like all the letters, but the Nun is a bit problematic. You know, when I invite the Nun to join my exclusive club, I'm a little bit inhibited about it. Because in some way, the Nun is not a good guy. He's not something that's so positive, despite what Pirkei the Rebbe Loza says. And this is a Gemara in Masechta Brachos that I want to call to your attention on Daf Dalet Amud Beis. So if you give me a minute, I'll just open up this Gemara and see if I can read it to you. The Gemara says, if I can find it, here it is. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan asks the following question. Bipnei malo nemar nun bi ashrei. The ashrei is made up of an alphabetic acrostic in which every pasuk in Ashrei begins with the next letter sequentially in the Aleph base. The only thing is that David HaMelech, when he authored Ashrei, which is otherwise known as Tehillah LeDavid, he skips the letter Nun. And Rabbi Yochanan is perplexed by this. Why is it that the letter Nun is omitted? And it can't be that, you know, David HaMelech forgot about the letter Nun. And this is in Tehillah Perek Pei Dalet, which we begin with Ashrei Yoshvei Veisecha, but really it begins with Tehillah LeDavid. And Rabbi Yochanan says that the Nun is not such a good guy. It was deliberately omitted by David HaMelech from this wonderful, beautiful, majestic liturgical poem called Tehillah LeDavid. And why? Mipnei sheyesh ba. Now here you have to understand what a euphemism is. Does everybody know what a euphemism is? You know, sometimes you don't want to say it out loud with the destruction of your greatest friend, you know, Chas V'Shalom. So you use a euphemism. So he says, sheyesh ba mapalason shel sonei Yisrael, as if the enemies of the Jewish people will fall. But in truth, as we'll see in the Pasuk in Amos, the Navi is foretelling with that Nun the Nefilah, the fall, not of our enemies, but of the people of Israel. Dichsiv, Nafla lo sosif kum. Now please notice, and maybe you'll add this to your page, that after the word kum, I put a comma, a pause. And then it says, Besuas Yisrael. So what it means is that Amos is addressing the future of Besuas Yisrael, the people of Israel, that nation, and he's saying, Nafla lo sosif ot, which means that the people will fall and they will not get up again. That pasuk begins with which letter? With the Nun. The Nun represents Nefilah. Nefilah, the fall, is what we call not a bracha, but excuse me, the opposite of a bracha, namely what? A klola. The klola here is lotosif kum. She will not be able to stand on her feet a second time. And it means, I'll quote the end of the pasuk, Nacha al admasa v'ein makima. She will be removed from her land and there's no one there to stand her up. The Navi is talking about the 10 Shvatim of Israel, that at the time of Golus, at the time after Hosea, as described in Malachim Beis, there will be no king of Israel that will rule over those 10 Shvatim. They're virtually lost to the Jewish people. And, you know, the truth is, there are many psukim in Tanakh that unfortunately foretell the fall of the Jewish people. Why did David HaMelech focus on this pasuk in Amos and thereby omit Nun? Okay, so the answer is that everything that all evil that befalls the Jewish people in our Ashkof, in our philosophy, is called a kapara. It's an atonement. It's a temporary situation to punish us and cleanse us from our sins. However, there always is going to be a tkuma, a rebuilding of the Jewish people after every single tragedy and catastrophe that's foretold by any Navi in Israel. However, in this particular pasuk in Amos, it's the shock of a lifetime. Here, there's no tkuma. Ein Yisrael miskaimen. There's lo tosif kum. And therefore, this pasuk really reflects on the most tragic prophecy regarding the people of Israel in the letter Nun, a nefila without a tkuma. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan comes to the conclusion that amongst the letters of the alphabet, the 22 letters, we have one letter that has to be omitted by David HaMelech because it reflects a nefila without a tkuma.
But that's impossible.
So because hold on for just another minute.
So if we can't rise by ourselves, Hashem will have to lift us up.
Oh, excellent. So B'marava in Eretz Yisrael, they were so bothered by this verse. How could it be? I mean, all the promises that we have and the fundamentals of our faith is that there will be an ultimate redemption. Mitartzi lehachi. They came up with an interpretation of the pasuk in which they put the comma in a different place and therefore reading the pasuk a different way, and this pasuk actually has not just a klala to it but a bracha. And here's how they read the pasuk: nafla comma, and then after that comma of the nefila, then lotosif, and it won't happen again, so to speak. Lotosif means there won't be a repetition of nefila, lotosif. And then you read it, after that with a comma, kum besuas Yisrael, that the nation of Israel will stand. There is a tkuma. But nevertheless, despite the fact that according to Ma'arava, there is a notion or a foretelling of the future, but at the same time, nobody denies that on the straightforward pshat, you know, the simple straightforward meaning of the pasuk indicates a kind of a klala. And that's why David HaMelech wanted to leave it out. But wait a second. If we accept the interpretation by Rafa, David HaMelech owes the Nun big time, because the Nun also reflects the future redemption. Says the Gemara Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, afilu hachi chazar v'david v'smachan beruach hakodesh. David mentions the Nun in Ashrei, albeit not at the beginning of a pasuk, because that would sound like nafla besulas Yisrael, correct? V'lo tosif kum, but rather towards the end of the pasuk. And again, we're back to the same kapitel in Tilim, kuf mem hei, and there it says, Somech Hashem l'chol hanoflim. Here's again the Nun reappearing as nefila. But here Hashem is supporting the noflim. So that pasuk is indicative of the chesed, the compassion of Hashem for Klal Yisrael. And we have now a very complex situation with regard to the Nun. We've got on the one end the Nun being nefila and lotosif kum. On the other hand, the fila is Somech Hashem L'chol Hanoflim. So David HaMelech is, in a sense, juggling these two polar opposites. He's going to give due respect to the Nun because Somech Hashem L'chol Hanoflim. But at the end of the day, since the simple, straightforward pshat in Amos, it's a klala, the nefila lotosif kum, therefore he leaves it out in the acrostic, starting a pasuk with the Nun. I want to point out to you that I have a footnote here in this particular Gemara, which I don't think you have on your page, in the name of the Rashba. The Rashba says the following. Why did David HaMelech, according to Rabbi Yochanan, omit the Nun? It's because it has an afila gemura she'en lo tkuma. It has an absolute afila without a tkuma. But that's not true. Because now we see that the very pasuk from which Rabbi Yochanan derives this is indicative of a rebirth of the Jewish people, which they'll stand through divine assistance on their own two feet. So then, based on this interpretation of the Bnei Ma'arava, David HaMelech was a little bit too harsh on the Nun. Kol HaTam Shel Hizkir HaNun, the reason why he left out the Nun is because of Nefila Gemura, but yet, according to the interpretation of the Chachmei Ma'arava, right, the Israelis, so to speak, those Chachamim understood that it's not Ein La Tkuma. So one of the commentaries on the Ein Yaakov, which is a compilation anthology of Agadita, called the Eitz Yosef, he writes, Kol Zman She'ein HaNefila Gemura V'yuchlu L'skayim B'derech HaTeva Lo Yakimam Hashem Ach B'zman She'nofla HaNefila Gemura Ad She'efshe She'tosif Lipol Od Azai Yakim Hashem Es Pesuas Yisrael. He says that there are two types of junctures or periods in Jewish history. There's one period in which the Jews are down and out. They're facing very difficult, adverse conditions. But within the context of nature, there's still a possibility that they'll get back up on the right track. In such a case, Hashem will allow, according to the Eitz Yosef, will allow history to unfold and the Jewish people will come back to themselves. But there's another period in Jewish history.
Purim.
And that's a period in which E'efshar, there's no possibility al pi derech hateva to save them. The nefila is a nefila legamrei. And they fall into the lowest echelon. They can't fall any further. Then, Yakim Hashem es psulas Yisrael. That's where the Bnei Ma'arava's interpretation of the pasuk comes to the fore. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with his divine providence, is going to intervene in the action, in the events of Jewish history in order to spare and save the Jewish people. Ulafizek Kolzmanshi Solo Naflu Lefila Gemura Lo Yekayim Osam Hashem. If we're in the first period of time where the Jews are down, but it's not totally down, there's a possibility of them falling but then climbing up again. That's where the pasuk says that Nafla Velo Tosif Od. That's why David HaMelech leaves out the Nun. However, the Bnei Ma'arava point out that if at some point they reach the point of despair, you know, where there's no hope based on the natural law, then Hashem promises, Kum Besulas Yisrael, I will save and redeem the people of Israel.
I heard also that this is the 50 gates of Tuma, that they were about to fall in Egypt, and this is why we got the redemption.
Right, right. It could be that the number 50, but this is actually on page 3, which I haven't given out yet. The reason I'm holding on to page 3 about the number 50 is because I think that this lecture tonight has to be a two-part series. Because I'm afraid, and I know myself, that if I'm going to try to stoop and fit this all in to one lecture, I'm going to do a botched job. So I decided to do it slowly. Is that okay? Alright. Now, we have a question here about why is it that giving a letter the position of being the first letter in a verse, why is that so significant? And therefore David is inhibited, hesitating to give Nun that special cover, that honor and that significance, that chashivas of being the first letter in a pasuk. So to appreciate that, we want to take a look at the Gra. Who authored the Gra? The Vilna Gaon, you remember? And he has an interpretation on the Zohar. This is one of the most famous statements of the Gaon on the Zohar. And he tries to understand why David HaMelech was so compelled, if you will, to omit the Nun from this Aleph Beis of Tehillah LeDavid. He says, Lo Nemar Nun Bi Ashrei, Ki Nun Hu Sod Nefila, meaning the secret that lies in the letter of Nun is the word Nefila, falling. And why is that so? Now let's just take one moment of pause as an introduction. The Gaon believes that the significance of the letters in the Hebrew alphabet is not limited to their sequence or their numerical, geometric value and so forth, but it also reflects what we call the Tzuras Ha'os. Tzuras Ha'os means the shape of the letter. And the Gaon bases himself on a Gemara Menachos. The Gemara talks about the shape of the Yud, the Tzuras Ha'Yud, and the Tzuras He'. Because those two letters, when they combine, they form the name of Hashem. And the Gemara says that a Yud represents a point, and that point has no space whatsoever, it's infinite. And the He represents a house, a home, and the only thing is, there's an opening in the home. And that opening represents the distance between the regel of the He and the gag of the He, if you know what I mean, the roof and that line. And that has to do with the fact that when the Jewish people are in Golus, when they are in a state of diaspora, there still is always that way out. That's the significance of that. In any event, the Gemara in Shabbos in the 12th parak goes through each letter and shows the significance of each letter. And the Gaon wants to focus on the letter Nun. Now, when we want to talk about two extremes in the human body, or I should say in an animal body, so we have the head and we have the tail. That's in the symbolism of the Gaon, that represents man on his highest level, the head, and man on his lowest level is compared to the tail of an animal. Now, in order to indicate that the head is most significant, the head has to be on top and it has to be very wide. Now, if you take a look at a nun, you'll see that the nun is made up of a regel, a leg, that combines two shapes that are almost identical, except that the shape on top is more narrow than the shape on the bottom. So the width of what should be the head is placed on the bottom. Let's see the Gaon inside. The Gaon says, Ki nun, if you look at the tzura of a nun, which you can see at the end of that line, is kfufa. It's really turned in a certain sense upside down. Why? Because Rosho is Rosho Shalmata. There are two Roshim, so to speak, right? Because the Nun is made up of these two heads, so to speak. And the head, which is on the bottom, you'll notice is wider than the head that's on the top. Otherwise, the Nun is puzzled. Like, for example, in the writing of a Sefer Torah, if the Nun in its top rush is as wide as the lower rush, that's not a nun. And hayitzarech lios behefech, it really logically should have been just the reverse. Why? Because the head, as opposed to the tail, is always given the prominence, the significance of being widest, and therefore behefech kazeh. If you turn the nun on the other side, correct? Let's say take a nun and go like this with the nun, then the wider part is on top. Tzarech lios behepech. Okay, that I couldn't reproduce the picture, but you can do it yourself by just flipping the nun around. Rosh ha'arach of lamala v'akotza lamata. So the wider part is now on top. That's the way it naturally should. So why is the nun reversed in that way? Elisha begolusa. Because this nun is a reflection of the Jewish nation in the diaspora, in exile. And there the resha, the head of the Jew, shchiva liofra, is actually wallowing in the dust. Uznava, but the tail is nedaber, it's almost at the top, right? V'lachein hu nun kazeh rosh olamata. Avaliyasid lavo, B'eskima migalusa, when we are redeemed from the ultimate exile, yishapecha nun, the nun will then become reversed. Rosho lamala, kazeh, again take the nun and turn it around, and the zanav of the nun is now on the bottom. That's the natural way it should be. Vizehu, and where do we see the divine promise foretelling the ultimate redemption? In the pasuk, in Parshas Baloscha, it says, "Zehu." That's the pasuk. Kuma Hashem v'yanusim v'senecha v'panecha ki tzad harachav hupanecha. It's interesting. Oh, what does that mean? It says v'yanusim v'senecha v'panecha. Correct. So, what you want to do is you want to get the sonim running away from panecha, meaning from your head or the face. So how do you achieve that in the case of a nun? By reversing the nun, turning it upside down. When you turn it upside down, then the head is on top, and then that middle part represents the enemies of the Jewish people fleeing from the Jewish people, mipanecha, from your face. Correct? If on the other hand you have the nun the way we have it, with the rush on the bottom, then the oivim are not facing our panim, our rush, and therefore it's not yanusim panecha. And therefore, if the nun represents the relationship between the head and the tail, then golus and gula depend upon where the head is and where the tail is. So our nun, as we have it in our alphabet, represents golus, and therefore the wider part, the head is on the bottom, and the tail is on top. But as far as the nun of the future, foretelling the end of days, there the nun will be afucha, and the wider part of the nun will be on top, representing the head on top. V'yanusu sonecha mipanecha, and the sonim will run and flee away from you, mipanecha, because the head is on top.
What do we learn from the Maaseh from this?
Oh, so what we learn from this is our relationship to our enemies. Our relationship to our enemies is a relationship of nun, as long as the enemies are successful. It means when we're losing the battle, when Yaakov is facing Esav, and in that encounter, if he's losing the battle, that represents golus, galusa. At that point, the head is on the ground. And really, the tail that's on top represents the adversary. The adversary is compared to a zanav. He's trying to pierce us. He's trying to attack us. That's Esav. Esav is on top. It works like this. There's an inverse relationship. Our enemy is on top. We're on the bottom. When we go on top, the enemy goes on the bottom.
Esav and Yaakov.
And that's the confrontation that the Torah is describing here in Parshas Vayishlach. And that's what the Gemara establishes on the bottom of your page in Megillah Daf Vav. And it says there, Malea Chareva. God says, Malea, which means it's flourishing, and Chareva, it is desolate. How could the same Pasuk describe both Malea, flourishing, and Chareva, desolation?
Yes, we are there.
It depends on the Romans, the Edom, and Yaakov Avinu. The Gemara says like that. Kesari bas Edom. Meaning, the Caesars and that area of the land of Israel, when it's taken over by the Romans, the Kesars, they are the offspring, the descendants of Edom. Edom is whom? Esau. And then is Yerushalayim. Somebody comes forward and he says to you, Charvu shtehem. They're both desolate. Al tamin, don't believe him. Yashvu shtehem. They're both flourishing. Al tamin, don't believe him. Charva kesari v'yashva Yerushalayim. Charva Yerushalayim v'yashva kesari tamin. If he tells you that one is up and the other is down, then you believe him. Shenemar, that's what the pasuk means. Amalea hachareva. I forgot for the second which Navi it is. Does anybody remember? Just slipped my mind. It'll come back.
I think it's Yeshayahu.
Maybe it's Yeshayahu. If I had a Gemara Megill, but it's not worth our time.
I can check
if you can check it, then please check it. I don't remember if it's Yeshayahu or not. But in any event, so what is the meaning and the significance of Amaleya Hachareva? In Maleya Zoo, I don't know who the zoo is. It all depends upon a historical context. It could be either Kesari or it could be Yerushalayim. But Chareva Zoo. If this one is flourishing, then the other one is down low on the bottom. In Malaya Zoo, if the other one is flourishing, Zoo Chareva. Oh, Yecheska. It sounds like Yecheska. Where is it? Lamed Gimel, Lamed Ches?
Chavav.
Okay. So he says, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzhak Omar Mehocha. Again, there are two nations here. One is great and one is low. It all depends on the historical concept. We can now begin to understand the symbolism of Nun and the upside down Nun with regard to the battle of Yaakov and Esav. If you remember, Pirkei Drabalazza says that in the context of Yaakov and Esav, it says Hatzileni Na. There are two nuns. And the second nun represents the Geula. The first nun represents the Golos. The first nun represents Kesari on top. That's Edom. That's Malaya Edom. And therefore Chareva Yerushalayim. The encounter between Esav and Yaakov foretells the entire history of the Jewish nation. And this is something that the Maharal Miprag is going to embellish on the flip side of your page. But before we see that, let's just finish up here. What does it mean to invert the Nun? To invert the Nun means to put our Rosh, representing Psulas Yisrael, on top. Whereas they, the nations of Edom, become the Zonov on the bottom. Let's see if we can develop this even further on page 2. Now, I'm going to leave the Yalkut Shimoni for the time being because we really need a blackboard to figure out this Yalkut Shimoni. There is a blackboard somewhere here, but in any event, the issue here in the Yalkut Shimoni, which the Maharal Miprag and his Netzach Yisrael is going to pick up on, is how to pair off letters. Every letter in the Hebrew alphabet should have what's called a bat zug. It should link together with another letter. Now keep in mind that in the Maharal Miprag's philosophy, numbers play a tremendous role, and gematrios play a tremendous role. The number 10, for example, and any multiples of 10, becomes a key number. And basically, you can link together any two letters and form the number 10, or multiples of the number 10. The Maharal is going to work out the math for us in just a minute. However, there's only one letter. Now in truth, I'm going to whisper this to you on the side, there are two letters. There's the hey and the nun. But make believe that the hey doesn't exist. That's classified information. Well, we're going to come back to the hey. It's not that I'm not aware of it, but the nun.
You speak about bash?
No. I'm speaking about joining two letters together so that the numbers, when you add X plus Y, you get to 10. That's I don't know that Atbash has anything to do with
it's
the number
pairs,
10.
Pairs of pairs of 9 to an 8.
But if you take the number 50, the only way you can get a multiple of 10 is if you add another 50. But you can't pair it off with another number. Again, I didn't get into the specifics. I'm just giving you a general introduction to this presentation of the Netzach Yisrael. He says, Ula Ka'amar Rabbi Yochanan made the statement, Lekach lo nemra nun v'ashrei. David HaMelech chose to omit the nun from Ashrei. Why? Says Rabbi Yochanan in Brachas Tafdalet Amud Beis, Sheyesh ba mapalosan shal Yisrael. It represents the downfall of the Jewish people. Ubir inyan zeh. Says the Maharal, I have a deeper insight into what Rabbi Yochanan means and why the nun represents nefilah. And I'm thinking, as a symbolism, you know, when any soldiers in the army, when I was in the army, we went on what's called a masa. I don't know how you say that in English, like a what do you call it?
Trip.
Not a trip. I mean, not a trip in the say a hike. Usually the word trip or hike has a connotation of like kef, you know, fun. But I'm not talking about a fun kind of thing. I'm talking about where they test your durability and they keep you going.
March.
A march ad infinitum. And what you'll notice is, I don't know if you've ever seen it in the videos. Sometimes they have videos of our soldiers, you know, preparing their imunim. You'll see that if this masa is very long and it goes on for days and days, in which it's impossible humanly for a chayal to keep awake for such a long period of time. Like, for example, my son was in Sanchanim. In Sanchanim, they beat the living daylights out of you. I mean, it's inhuman. But that's the nature of the Israeli army. It's a serious army. It's not just like for jokers. I mean, I was in Shlav Bet, so that was for jokers. They thought that if they pushed me too hard, I would get a heart attack, you know, and then I'd sue the army or something. So they went pretty easy on me. But when we went on a masa, what would happen is we buddied up together in such a way that, I don't know if you've ever seen it, where the chayalim will take turns who will sleep. But again, you can't stop walking. So how can you sleepwalk? And the answer is that the chayalim will carry you. Physically carry you. I mean, it's human endure. Is that the word? To endure? To endure? Did I use that word right? My wife always says I make up words. To endure such difficulty is almost humanly impossible. But somehow, you know, when you're in Sahel, you get this extra what's it called? That chemical thing, adrenaline, right? You get the extra push of adrenaline. So he says the bir einyan ki kol osios ba'alef bet ein lahem nefila chutz mi'anun. Okay, we'll see about the hay a little bit later, but the nun has no buddy system. It doesn't get paired off with a buddy, and if it doesn't get paired off with a buddy, it is alone. Alone. That's the key word here. Alone. And I'm going to ask you in just a minute, but please don't answer the question now. Is it good to be alone or is it bad to be alone? Okay, don't give me an answer because it's a very complicated question. It's the most profound philosophical question of Yiddishkeit. Well, yeah. Whether it's good to be alone. No, I asked you not to give me any answers. You're not playing the game fairly here. Okay, fine. All right, what's your answer, Jack? I see you're very anxious.
No.
Oh, okay, good.
We already know that one.
Yeah. So what does he say over here? He says, why is the nun going to fall? Hatamhu. Why does the nun fall? Shekashatosim osios manpats. Manzapach, excuse me. Those are the sofiot, right? What do they call it? Yeah, is there an English word for it? I don't know. The final letters. So if you put it at the end of the alphabet, right? So you end up with Yud Gimel Osios Lefneim, the Yud Gimel Achreim, right? Because 13 times 2 is 26, correct? 13 times 2 is
27, and the Nun is exactly
between. Right, but what's the 13 and 13? Just 1 second.
26.
The Nun.
13 and 13 is Aleph 26. So wait, I lost
the
it.
Nun is in the middle.
The Nun is in the middle of 27.
Yes. So
I see. Excellent. Sorry, Avi. Yeah, I got stuck because the Nun is in the middle of 27. Now, again, so we have 22 letters of the alphabet. We add the 5 sofiot, and we get to 27. If you take the first 13 on the right side and the second 13 on the left side, you're left with one letter in the middle, and that's the Nun. He says, Tia os Nun. Where am I?
But Nun also can't be added to anything to make 10. Because it can't be added to itself, so it has to be alone anyway. Because it's number 5.
Yes. 1 second. Are you on the same page as me?
Okay,
again.
Now, sorry.
We're saying let's go slowly. There are 27 letters of the alphabet now, correct? We beefed it up by 5 because we added the Mansapah. Now we're dividing it up into 2 groups. But the number 37 is an odd number. It doesn't divide equally. So you're left with 13 and 13, which is 26, with one letter in the middle. If you calculate, the 14th letter is the letter Nun. That's what he calls Os Yudalid, Omeid Ba'emtza. Now you have to understand that in the Maharal's philosophy, Emtza is a good thing in and of itself. Like, I'll give you an example. In this week's parasha, I'm sorry, when I say this week's parsha, I meant to say the parsha that we read this past Shabbos. So Yaakov has a dream, and he sees a ladder in his dream. Now, the feet of the ladder and the head of the ladder is on an incline, and the feet of the ladder are in Beisel.
In
Beer Sheva. And the top of the ladder is in Shamayim, and the middle point is the Makom HaMikdash. That's Keneged Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is the center of the universe. Eretz Yisrael is the center of all the countries, and Yerushalayim is the center of the entire universe, and the center of the center is the Beis HaMikdash. That's always a good thing, because that allows for what's called Chibur in the Maharal's philosophy, you know, to connect higher worlds with lower worlds. However, within the natural world, the Emtza is a bad guy, is a negative. Why is that so? Because Kol Dover Shu B'Emtza Omed Li'atzmo. What does it mean, Li'atzmo? He's alone. Again, keep that word in mind. I'm going to pump you for that word over and over again. Alone. What does it mean, alone? There are no buddies that are holding it up. Ein lo smach. No one's carrying it. Ein lo chibur. It's not connected either to the right side nor to the left side. So the Yud Gimel on the right side all have their own buddies. The Yud Gimel on the left side have their buddies. But there's one Nevuch Nun in the middle. What's going to happen to that Nun? If it has no support, it's going to fall. V'od, Mitzad Acher, and this is what you are referring to, so we'll be ready for your question in just a minute. Ein El HaNun Chibur V'tziruf, the Nun doesn't link up with anything else. Why? Kol HaOsios Mischabros, every number could join together with another number to get 10. For example, take the tzadi and add the yud and you get kuf. You get 100, so that's a multiple of 10. Chaf v'pei, add 20 to 80 and you get 100. Correct? Or for example, you take the lamed and the ayin, that's 30 and 70. Is kuf, you get 100. Mem v'samach, 60 and 40, and kuf. Chutz min anut. If you link up the Nun with any other letter of the alphabet representing a different number, you will never get a multiple of 10. Which puts the Nun in its own state. It is, what's the word I'm asking for? Alone. It's alone. Yomedes Levat. V'afki gam ha-hei. Hei is also described in the same way. The only way you can get a multiple of 10 when you add it to a hey is if you add its own number. Hey to hey, 5 to 5 is 10. That means that the hey is also alone, right? If you add an aleph to a tes, you get 10. V'chein kulam chutz min hey. Hey can't link up with any other letter in order to arrive at the number 10. Al zeh nemar. Now we go back to alone, but not as a negative, but as a positive. Because the letter hey represents the Jewish people. And the Jewish people are alone. Is that good for the Jews or bad for the Jews? It's both at the same time. On the one hand, when Bilam, when he has a beautiful prophecy, again, I'm not a big fan of Bilam, but he says, Hein am levadad yishkon, the hay of the word hein is a representative of the Jewish nation because they are levad. And we're going to see it in this week's parasha that Yaakov, vayivoser Yaakov levado, that levado philosophy that makes us existentially alone, represents the uniqueness of the Jewish people. The Jewish people are not a 71st nation. There are 70 nations and there's a Jewish nation. The Jewish nation could never be integrated with the other nations. We always are separate. Our separateness defines our essence. It's like you can't combine fire and water. They'll never mix. Hein am levadad yishkon. Ze nemar al Yisrael shein uma yechida. They are the unique people. They cannot be connected to any other uma. Rak levadad yishkon. Ukemo milas hein she yesh ba hey v'nun. Hein is Bilam's representative allusion to the symbolic allusion to the Jewish nation because the hey and the nun are the two letters in the Torah. Excuse me, the two letters in the alphabet which are alone. So the aloneness here is the hey and the nun. She elu shteim beisi shtei osiel sein lem chibur rakel atzma. Atzma means they remain alone. Mikomakom, you should still maintain and focus on the difference between the hey and the nun. Ki anun bechol bechina shataboche in timsa ki anun beemtza. Whereas the hey is not beemtza, the nun is beemtza, right? Because you have a 13-13 and the letter nun in the middle, number 14. Im tiachshav yosias k'shem chav zayin timtzos nun beemtza v'yein leemtza shum chibur. That which is in the middle is not connected either to this side or the right side. It's not connected to the right or to the left. Rak omi be'emtza. V'ein lehei skula zo. Skula means uniqueness. You can't say about the hey that it's unique in that it has no chibur. Correct? It's always together with the other 13, the other 12 out of the 13 letters on the right side. V'gam mitzad shanun b'mispar asoros ein lenun shum chibur rak omed bi'atzma. Okay, so the nun has two dimensions that make it alone. Number one, it's by emsa. Number two, it doesn't link up with any, pair up with any other letter that'll make a multiple of 10. That sounded Italian to me. Lakach hanunu yechido legamri represents total aloneness. Shein lo shum chibur el davar ma. Lachein hanun mora al Yisrael. Why is the nun included together with the hey in Hein Am Levadad Yishkon? Because we are a singular nation and we can never be connected with any sort of chibur to any other nation. That's why Amos says Nafla Besulas Yisrael. Why does he use the nun, Amos? What is the symbolic meaning inherent in the nun? Hakosuf Ramas Ki Yisrael Ein Kmo Nun. The Jewish people are like the nun. Ein Bayim Chibur. And therefore, if we have no chibur, there's no one there to help us. Like Yirmiyahu Hanavi says in Eicha, what does it say there? You know, Eicha Yeshva Badad, right? We're all our friends. What does it say there? Kol Riyah Bogduba, is that what it says there? Right? That all our friends, where are they? They're nowhere to be found. That's what I felt like under the previous administration. I'm hoping that now maybe we do have a friend. I don't know. I'm just hoping. I don't know if our prime minister is that friend. That's the question I have. But anyway, you heard his latest statement about the two-state solution, and I was kind of shocked by that. Anyway, lefichach. Okay, no political comments here. I'm not allowed because it's against the laws of
the other states in an Arab country.
The other state what?
The other state has to be in an Arab country.
Ah, okay, but where is it going to be? Is it going to be carved out from Eretz Yisrael? That's what I think he meant. Okay. We have no friends to help us and support us. And therefore the Pasuk says in Shlomo Melech says in Koheles, Tovim Hashnayim in Echad. It's always good to have a buddy. I remember we used to teach in camp, and some kids we should teach the children swimming. Everyone had to have a buddy, right? You remember that? Tovim Hashnayim Mekech, Yim Yipol Echad Hasheni Mekaimo, Ve'ilu Echad Sheipol Mi Mekaimo. Shlomo Melech, who's going to help the one person if he's alone? Lekach Ksiv Nofla Besulas, meaning Klal Yisrael is going to fall. That's the nun. We're alone. We have no helpers, no Reim Ahuvim, who are dedicated loyal to us. Mitam Zei Nikra Os Nofel B'dikdik Aloshecha Kanun Hu Os HaNofel. The nun is the only letter that's considered a falling letter because it doesn't combine and partner up with any other letter. And therefore, David HaMelech in Tehillah, David leaves out the nun because the nun is that letter in the middle that is Omed Liatzmo. It has to stand on its own two feet. It's not connected with any of the other letters. And therefore it has no support, no friends, no one's loyal. It's going to fall. Umasha Omar, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan says, Sheyeshbo, Mapoloson, Shel Sonam, Shel Yisrael, Ki Kasher Hashem Yisbarach Barasa Olam B'Elu Osios HaKadoshos. God created the universe with the 22 letters of the alphabet. And one of the letters is the nun that stands by itself alone. And therefore there's no one to support, it's going to fall. So it is in this world that was created with the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Gamkein Dover Echad, God created one thing that's an Omed Be'emtza that's about to fall, it has no support. And that is the Uma Kedosha Knesset Yisrael, the people of Israel. Hein Am Levadad Yishkan B'Goyim Lo Yischashavu. It means that we are like the Nun, and we are Be'emtza, we are Levad, we have no Chibur, we have no friends, no one's going to prevent us from falling. Lifichach, Yisrael Asher Yeshlem Emtza, is therefore they are destined to fall, and that's called in the language of Amos, Nafla Besulas Yisrael. But at the same time, let's flip it around the other way in the positive sense. Remember we spoke about before that in the morale's philosophy, being in the middle is a great thing. Ki yesh el Yisrael madregas ha'emtza, to us, the Jewish people, we apply, or the description is that we are ba'emtza in the middle. Ha'emtzayu ha'nivchar. The one in the middle is the choice, is the chosen one. But at the same time, if we fall, we fall very, very hard and very fast. Lo shayach nefilu b'dover sheyesh lo chibur tov mashnayim and echad. Again, he repeats himself. I don't know why. He says nefilu shayach to something that's only be'emtza ve'en lo chibur l'kach yesh lo nefilu mipnei zeh mishamishos nun ela nefilu. Okay, fine. I'm just seeing if I can come in. This my zebi al face ain't boos nun 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 nun. Oh. And then at the very end of the paragraph, he says what you said before, Imlo, Ki Hashem Yisparach Asher Umamid Osam. We do have one friend. And that's the most important friend that you could have, is Avinu Shabashamayim, Vizulosu Yisparach Ein Kim Lisrael, Mitzad Teva. According to nature, we are the letter Nun, we are Be'emtza, we are left to fall, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu will strengthen us. And just to end it all, at the end of page 2, and maybe we'll get to the other pages another time, he says, Afal Pichein Somcha David Ruach HaKodesh. That same Nun all of a sudden becomes Somech Hashem L'chal Anoflim. Hashem will support those who fall. Ratzalomer Ki Afsheh B'Yisrael Mitzad Atzman Muchanim L'Nefila. Based on their natural essence, they could actually fall. They have no support. But who Asher Mekayim Animtzoyim Mitzomech Hashem L'chol Enoflim. God will support us. He will catch us. Mekayim Osam Befrat. He has a special supervision and providence on the people of Israel. Im Lochein, if not for that, we don't have any reason for optimism. Hayu Noflim Kulam. Hashem Yisbarak, and only God. He's going to be Mekayim Klal Yisrael. He's the Somech Hashem L'chol HaNoflim. The Noflim here is a reference to Klal Yisrael. Shalot Tipol Nefilu L'gamri V'lachein K'siv Miad Somech Hashem L'chol HaNoflim V'roi L'chol HaHovin Advarim HaGdolim HaElu Ma'od Ma'od Ki Heim Dvarim Barurim Ein Safek B'Amitasam L'misha Mevin Divrei Chachma. He gives himself a little bit of a pat on the back, and I'll tell you why he does that, for two reasons. First of all, I don't know if anyone in this room appreciates that everything that we read here for the morale is totally original. It's an absolute creation of his mind. Meaning, whatever we read on this page will not be found anywhere. This is the morale's understanding of the Gemara in Brachos that we started with. Why was the Nun omitted by David HaMelech from Ashrei? Because it reflects on, says Rav Yochanan, the philosopher shall Yisrael the Poskin Amos. But why the Nun? Why is Nun Nefila? Just happens to be that the Nun is the first letter of the word Nefila? That's his entire presentation. Number two, what the Maral wants to sink in, and we should never forget it, always be aware of it, is that Klal Yisrael on the one hand is Am Levadad Yishkan, we have no friends, we have no one to rely on, but on the other hand, we are the Emtza, we are the Nivcharim. We are the Somech Hashem L'chol HaNoflim. And that's why David decided that I must add the Nun back into Ashrei. The Nun of Nefila, that has to be left out. We don't want to emphasize that essence of the Jewish people in a physiological sense, in the material world, that we have no friends and we're going to fall, that we're Re'uyim L'Nefila. But we have to mention the Somech Hashem L'chol Noflim. This is the greatest message of optimism and faith that the Maral wants to leave us with. That no matter how far and how fast we fall, Hashem is our friend. I know we don't have time for it, but I'll just tell you very quickly that when Hashem met Avram Avinu and he told him that he has to undergo a bris milah, Avram Avinu said, everyone is going to be porish me, man. Everyone is going to leave me. And Hashem answers him with the name Shin Shakai, Shin Dalet, and then a Yud. Dai Lo'olomo, say Chazal, in this world, you have one friend. But if you have that one friend, that's all you need. And when I think of the United Nations, I think of the fact that we need one friend. Because other friends, we don't have too many. Some of them are sane, some of them vote with us, but we have one friend, one patron in Shamayim, and that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Somei Hashem L'Chol.
What is the need of Hen? Am Levadat Hashem. Why Hen?
Hen is the combination of Hey and Nun.
Oh.
That's what the Maharal is saying.
Which
are both letters that represent aloneness.
Which is 55. Which is 5 and 5 is 10.
Okay, 5 and 5 is 10, but 55 is not a multiple of 10.
Okay.
Yeah. But okay, Rabosai. I hope you got something out of it. I mean, it's a nice insight into Parshas Vayishlach. Okay, then?
Yeah, thank you.
All right, we'll stop here.